Hey everyone, folks. Welcome back to episode 6, I believe it is. Tango TV's premier review program, musically oriented review program, which this month focuses on both Baptisinex and Fevelisco, and joining co-caster Tasman today is Pavaro. And we felt we needed a bit of an extra voice on this occasion, and he happened to be in the general vicinity, so we've recruited him.
I've been doing a lot of commentary today.
You have?
Weird.
Yeah, I think this is
the
third time.
Three separate occasions. Yeah. Plus, I had a long stream today, too, so it's been productive.
Now, typically, we provide musical chords as part of the rating system, as you well know, but haven't had quite a bit of time or the gumption to actually go ahead and organize them myself in the last few minutes, so I'm just going to tack the review in music form on at the end, and you can hear what that sounds like. But let's start off with Baptisinex, which is going to be quite a beefy one, I imagine, taking most of our time here.
Baptisinex
as a developer.
There, the entire review's done. We're done, guys. Baptisinex is shit.
No, that's funny. I haven't heard that joke before.
Yes, Alfonso.
Kick us
off. Oh, it wasn't a joke.
Why does it suck? Because it's just the worst thing ever made, and everybody involved with it should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm without sarcasm.
No, so what would you like to know about Back to Saturn X, Alfonso?
Well, would anybody like to know? I mean, I feel like the community has, at this point, put every nail in its coffin.
Well, what are those nails? And, well, not the coffin, the metaphorical coffin. But, I mean, I guess we can talk about the sort of wider points that have been made by the community and some of the wider criticisms and what our responses are to them, as both as a developer and myself not being a developer, somebody's played it from the outside. But still, I guess, I have some sort of bias because I had a bit of a look-in during the development process. We talked about this at length, both during the playthrough and previously, probably for the last, 6 months in excess, the sameness of Baptisinex. And I was quite... I wasn't surprised to know, but I did note the fact that actually, you know, those who participated in the Doomworld Megaward Club thread weren't actually agreeing on that point. After they played the maps independently, weren't, you know, took the time to drink everything in one a day. You'd think those are the best conditions in which someone would discover the fact that actually it is Sammy, but they didn't come to that conclusion, at least most of them, from what I could tell.
No, I would say I was surprised at how little that complaint was brought up. It seems like most of the complaints were in how easy the whole thing was. Like, there was, a flat plateau of difficulty, and then it never really got any harder until, the final, cluster.
Okay.
Final few maps.
Okay, and you know what? I don't agree with the plateauing thing. I would say, though, it does... it does start a trend way far too early for my liking, and then peak too early and stay that way. Okay, I mean, I'm not complaining about the overall difficulty when it actually gets up there, but I do think that it could have taken, considering that it's one theme for in excess of 20 maps, it could have had some sort of longer standing progression that spaces itself over 8 or 10
benefited
maps,
from
rather than just 3, which is basically what it felt like to me.
Right. Well, yeah, I agree. Really, if you think about it, the almost full difficulty of the map set kind of settles in almost immediately. Like, you're seeing Arachnotrons on the first map.
Yep.
And then from there, you've already met every monster. And so at this point, we're just going to throw more of them at you for a longer map period of time. And I can definitely see where you would find a plateau.
Not just in the sort of the things that were introduced to the player, the rate at which they were done, but also I think the map sizes.
There's also
a problem with this. I think it's more or less just down to map one. I felt it could have been shorter, and I think, again, because you've got just one theme pretty much across the entire map set, you need to take advantage of other aspects, like a longer-standing progression and increasing the map size gradually and then peaking and then start to diversify, that sort of thing, rather than just too much too early.
I also think that some of the problem doesn't just lie in, how difficult the map is, but also in how the fights are, managed and laid out, and where many of the maps, in fact, most of the maps have that, progressive sense of fights where you're kind of exploring the map and you come across fights as you go and you tackle them and you keep going in kind of, a moderate to high-level amount of threat sort of way, which keeps on going. But that type of gameplay is very pervasive in the map set, which I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's wonderfully crafted. But I think that fact that many of the maps have that sort of ebb and flow to them mm-hmm. can lead to it seemingly being pretty...
Do you think that's one of the sort of many mapping philosophies that... Because there are a lot of mappers, actually, for Back to the Next, you know, across yes. the whole thing, but also Free One. But at the same time, you can see they share very similar philosophies, you know, whether or not, you know... whoever else sort of wanted to string everything together in light of a project goal or whatever. They clearly share similar ideals when it comes to certain quarters, like monster placement things. You can pick some out. I mean, Rock King's monster placement is pretty unique. I can tell that a mile away.
Absolutely. And his maps are
looping layouts and things like that. I mean, these are all mm-hmm. shared mapping philosophies. And you can still pick out the different design choices, you know, unique to each mapper. That's why I think people weren't complaining so much that it was samey, because they didn't feel that, which is good. But you can definitely see those points. And I think it's a good thing that those mapping philosophies are shared, because it gives it a lot of character.
I think with Back to Saturn X, I actually do agree about the whole difficulty thing, but I don't think it's necessarily a problem. I have, like, you know, Back to Saturn X is just an atmospheric romp. I don't really think it needs to be Slaughterfest or whatever. But I definitely would like to see some sort of, like, long progression in it. When you have a map set that's not really difficult, that's where I like to see the, you know, it takes its time to introduce the monsters. And I think a problem with Back to Saturn X's development was that, like, you know, it wasn't sure where your map was going to go, as pretty much just make a map, right?
Mm-hmm.
To where when, you know, map one was like one of the last E1 maps finished, and map two already had Mancubi and Arachnotrons and all this stuff, to where it was like, well, I guess I gotta, you know, basically do half of that on the monster placement, to where, you know, had map one just been, you know, Zombie Men and Imps and taken its mm-hmm. time, and been like a standard map one, you would have gone from that to Coastal Blowfish and been like, whoa, what? But I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong. In fact, I would say that absolutely there's nothing wrong with just introducing everything right off the bat. Plutonium Map 1 introduces every monster besides the Cyber Demon and... besides the Cyber Demon, Spider Mastermind, there's every single monster.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, going into something like TNT or Plutonia, it's almost as though the developers expected you to sort of be coming from that off the bat of Doom 2, and obviously, I mean, you would have played plenty of map sets before you got to Back to Saturn X, but Back to Saturn X feels like such a an independent sort of set-aside thing, and almost like it deserves to be treating the player as though they're starting from scratch. In my mind, that's how it feels, like it's the first time they're playing.
But then it would have been criticized for having the same trope that every other map set does, where it starts you off with pistols and zombie men, and continues onward from there.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to do that. I mean, there were certain things that Baxenix did as part of the progression that were unique and were extremely interesting. I loved the placement of the BFG Map 3, for example. I thought that was great, and the fact that it didn't actually give you much ammo to use it with, or did it, because I think there was some added to Map 5.
Map 5 kind of fucked up that
yeah.
ideology. But
see, that kind of ruined that a bit, I think. But,
yeah,
oh well.
But no, that's why Dew was like, no, don't remove it. I mean, I didn't really like it, but I've never had a specific, you know, I didn't think it was the worst use of a BFG placement ever, like a lot of people did. Like, how dare you give away the BFG in Map 3?
Wait, did you guys mention Map 5 having a BFG?
No, Map 5
I was talking about the cell cam.
Which kind of
sort of ruining
with
the
progression of the,
oh,
the BFG.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
overly defensive about his disgusting.
Yeah. I'm just the call quality has diminished, and I'm having a hard time hearing some things.
This is it's Australia's fault. I do apologize.
Okay.
Anyways, I think that, you know, it's all about what you're making. I think, yeah, with Back to Saturn X, some slower progression would have been beneficial, simply because, like, when I mentioned Plutonia definitely is a much different gameplay style than Back to Saturn X. And I think with something like Plutonia, where, you know, it's short, arcadey, difficult maps, then, yeah, just throw everything at the player from the start and let them figure it out. But with Back to Saturn X, where you have a very atmospheric progression, the maps really get darker, it feels like you're going on a journey. That's where I think you can implement more of a standard monster progression and do it a lot across a larger series of maps. I mean, Back to Saturn XC1 kind of suffers from not having any really small maps. It has a bunch of small maps, but nothing like every small map is still kind of medium sized.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it doesn't. It also doesn't have any like short, gimmicky maps either. Like a Doom 2, like a Doom 2 would have. It's all very stoic, serious, progressive maps. Except for maybe Bingo Pool Hall of Blood, which a lot of people reacted to in a very surprised way because it changed up.
Oh, it is a bolt from the blue, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of a big change up. It's like, well, where did this come from? You know, now suddenly I'm being chased by a blob of monsters. They're running all over the place. I'm running over. It's a city map. And it's kind of jarring, but it's the only really jarring moment in the map set in that regard, I think.
Yeah, we need more jars, honestly.
You know, absolutely.
Yes, more jars.
And E2 and E3, I feel, address that problem a lot better. I think that E1 really suffers from... When people say make it tech-based, there's a very specific school of thought, and that'll kind of segue into...
It'd be very interesting to compare to E1 to eventually get around to reviewing that in, like, a decade. Thompson brings up an interesting point a little while ago, and I guess we are sort of jumping in the deep end here and lending some more negative comments than Back to Next deserves as an intro. But he did mention the journey feel and the atmosphere that you get out of Back to Next. And I think that there are certain elements in it that really make it unique in this on this front. And to me, it sort of illustrates a sort of model for Megawatch that should be adhered to a lot more. And that's sense of progression through quality level design and linking everything together. The hub maps certainly help a lot. In making you feel like you've accomplished something once you get to end, like you're looping back to a certain point. It gives, as soon as you return to a point that you've previously been, the hub map, for example, or in some other map sets, it might be returning to an actual playable map that you've been to before, but it's changed or something like that. Then you suddenly give a sense of location as to what's going on. Suddenly everywhere else that you've been to in the map set feels like a location, or you've been on the journey to get through. And that's something that Batson does a lot well, and I think other maps that should do more. And then, of course, it's bookended by, you know, map one, you don't actually encounter monsters for the first 20 seconds or whatever, and obviously the epilogue at the very end. There's just all these elements come together to make it feel like... The story, like, is... I don't actually know what it is. I haven't followed it at all. I'm not sure if any sense can be made of it, if I can get past all the Pollard riddles. But, I mean, it doesn't really need it, honestly, because it feels like a story just through the level design alone. And for me, that's an absolute success, and I can only give it praise.
I've heard there were several people who commented that it was odd that the maps after leaving the train station at each hub didn't have some sort of continuity from the train station.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that's necessary. Like, you can kind of fill in the blanks, imagine, you know, in your imagination, like, oh, you undocked the train, and then you moved on to this area.
I actually kind of agree with that point. I actually would have liked to see, a train station. I don't mind leaving that to the imagination, but the thing is that Back to the Next is already so vivid and rich. It's like, it wouldn't seem out of place to me to just put a sort of a stop, like, at the beginning of... like map 2 or map 8 or 9, sorry, or whatever. I guess just a small point. Just
well, the problem is the hub was made after all the other maps, and so
yeah,
it doesn't really work. Zazer tried to have E2's hub transition to the levels a little bit more, but not by much.
I guess at this point that would sort of bring up an inconsistency anyway. If you're looking at Back to Next as a whole, like, why isn't that done for E1? But as I said before, I think we're sort of jumping in the deep end here, and that's entirely my fault, because there are down to brass tacks, there's just a polished product. It's very well done. I mean, you've got the new texture set, you've got the new music. You can say what you want about it, but you have to say it's very well produced, right?
It is. Everything about, like, artistically, layout wise, every map in it, it can be said to be a good map. There really isn't any low point. And so that's right. Where, like, I think there's just a natural inclination to find the low points. Because
it's not as interesting to complain about, like, oh, this is a good map. This is a good map. This is also a good map. Same problem we had with, like, coffee break and whatnot, is that when you're talking about something that's just all around good in every aspect, you got to really, nitpick the problem.
Right, and so that's where I think the that comes in, where it's like, well, okay, so all of these maps are good, but why aren't they this good? Like, everything else in this respect leads me to believe that this will be, like, the greatest WoW I've ever played, so why aren't they this good, you know? And so I can see where there is frustration to be found in this map set, because, behind all of the beautiful art assets and the wonderful, musical compositions and the big names on the project and everything like that is a well-put-together, competent Doom map set that doesn't do anything else but exist as the great Doom map set. It, it's not the Second Coming. It doesn't introduce new mechanics to the gameplay or anything like that. It's just everything that we all wanted in Doom in a, well-polished package.
Well, what it does serve as is actually a brilliant sort of a go-to guide for vanilla tricks and the like. Because, I mean, that's what makes Saturn X an excellent,
I think Back to Saturn X's biggest flaw, and, a lot of people will try and say this, is that I definitely feel that it is an asset where during the development, critical parts of the dev team cared far more about visuals than the actual gameplay aspects of it. And, that's just because, there's a lot of mappers who were involved with it who like architecture and visuals, and they want the gameplay not to be, like, crap, all right? There's some really crap gameplay that was fixed, that was addressed, but not so much of a focus was made specifically on making every, map unique in a gameplay aspect. And they don't need to be, but it definitely was something that was kind of overlooked. And I don't think that's, a bad thing, because the map set's main focus is, again, on the atmospheric journey.
Yeah, do you actually think that the visuals and that sense of that brilliant sense of journey and atmosphere sort of distract from that point? In other words, if it were, if the soundtrack were taken away, or even if it remained, and it was made into Doom 2 stock textures, for example, do you think people will be addressing this sort of gameplay fault much, much more?
If Back to Saturn X lost all of its visuals, yeah, gameplay would not hold it on its own. Absolutely, I would fully agree with that.
I would agree.
But, see, the thing is, Back to Saturn X's visuals, the gameplay works in tandem with the visuals. If the gameplay was all super trappy and polished and unique each, I think that would be worse for the map set as a whole, to be honest. It works as a complement. Like, the fact that you are allowed to, take your time in a lot of areas and really look at them and explore that, look at this architecture and all that. Whereas, stuff like really hard, gameplay-oriented maps, kind of lose something in the sense of atmosphere when, every map is, constantly throwing new curveballs at you and keeping you on your toes. And I think Back to Saturn X definitely benefits from a easy... Oh, I would definitely consider it easy.
I think it also serves as a, the grounded kind of real-worldy first episode to the map set, where it's like, this is the tech base, things are straightforward, and that's kind of how it's meant to be. I feel like, we're not showing you the weird side yet. We're not there yet. It's going to come. It really is. I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen for E2 and E3 is just out there in some really awesome ways, in ways that we didn't even want in E1, because it's not for that. E1 is supposed to be, really, it's the shareware episode, I mean, as labeled in the on the title pick.
Shareware episode, but not of shareware length.
Yeah, of course, it's huge, but it's a taste of what's to come.
I believe Wooly Wool said recently in a post on the ZD forums that it took him around 10 hours to complete. Or he said it was a 10-hour map set, and it took him around 7 hours, I believe it was.
E1 is a 3-hour map set, I don't care what anybody says.
That's coming from Tarnsman, who races three things, which actually just makes it seem even longer, to be honest with you.
I mean, 3 hours... in a good run for me, I don't know.
Standout maps for you, because I actually certainly had some. I mean, we can talk as we like and as we have done about, the sort of consistency of theme. But as we've also discussed, you know, most people haven't failed to pick out the unique styles and choose their favorite maps without struggle, clear cut above the rest. You must have your own.
Oh, absolutely. I'd also like to point out that Backstar and X is, like, most of the reviews were, I didn't like this, I didn't like this, I didn't like this, but when it came time for, like, the overall product, every single review in the thread was positive. So I think that's, you know, speaks more to the overall, like, what it feels like as a map set versus individual maps, what we were just talking about. But for actual favorite maps, I really like Map 3, Map 7, Map 15 is really fun. Map 19, I really like Map 19.
Yeah, 19.
But that's, Map 19 is the map where I was allowed to be Tarnsman and just say fuck it.
Right, you can do whatever you want. It was a leave it in map. It was a just go forth and die.
Yes. Map 21's atmosphere, I'm really a fan of that. Like Map 20 a lot too. Really, the whole last cluster. Map 17, I like the dynamic stuff Essel did in there a lot.
Favorite maps and why?
Map 6 and Map 18 because the hallway.
Because the hallway. This is simply said, I do have to praise Map 18 for its key setup, though. And it's uniquely non-linear approach. I did actually like that. It was quite refreshing, actually. I mean, you take note of that sort of thing, which I guess is the one positive to having a sort of samey setup in the layout, because the layouts in Backstar and X do, almost all of them loop around like that. And so when something even gets tweaked slightly, you will notice. And I did for Map 18, and it was quite cool. And then again for Map 19, obviously, because Sandbox. Pavera, do you have a favorite and least favorite maps in the set?
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and... No, I'm not going to. I don't. It's not my favorite. Nor my least favorite. I just, you know, I've done better things. But I'm going to go ahead and speak in map names because I know I'm going to get the slots mixed up still. So I'm going to go ahead and say favorite maps. I'll replace you with machines. I love that map.
Yes.
I'm surprised that it didn't get better reviews in the Megawatt Club. I thought it would be a map that most people would be pretty impressed with. I love it. I think it's got one of the coolest, visual setups. There's a lot of lava, there's a lot of red, but there's a lot of, like, musty tech or concrete stuff, too. I think it's beautiful.
Concrete is
Tuscan River, even though I've lamented that I don't like the part where you have to pummel through lots of dudes and it takes a long time, I still think that's one of the most... That is the standout map, and it is the perfect end to the episode because it's a totally different place. It's like you finally battled your way through all this stuff and you emerge on the other side of the train station. Finally, you got out of the station and now you have to fight your way through this like wonderful viney, like cubic tech place, and it's just it's such
great
a different style from the
like,
yeah, it is.
Even though E2 isn't necessarily that sort of setup, or at least not from that
right,
one.
But it just
still serves as a cool transit.
Visually and gameplay wise, it's a real change up from the rest of it. And then finally, navigating flood regions is, I love that. I think it's just fantastic. Two Essel maps in my favorites. And then runner up, Metal Mothers, just incredible design.
Yeah.
Love everything.
I pretty much agree with the both of you. I really enjoyed trashed experiments and failed aircraft. He's going there. I was bound to screw it up. And yeah, but just because how dark it is. I mean, it's interesting to note how many of my standout favorite maps are my standout favorite maps purely because of how they either look or or how their atmosphere is. Although you do have a couple of maps like Map 19 and 7, which I enjoy strictly for the gameplay alone, and they of course also look nice. So I don't think it's worth listing mine because they're pretty much yours and Tarnsman's, so there you go. So how to round this off, gentlemen? We'll have to be playing the next two episodes, of course, not in the Dunas, of course, but eventually we will be doing it. And what would you like to see in those two episodes? I know you're either participating in them or following the development closely, but, I mean, what are you looking forward to most in those two episodes, and what do you think Backstar and X could... how could it be improved, really, from episode one?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll start with episode three. I'm expecting people to come up with the zaniest just stuff they can think of. Like, I want them to channel their inner Peterson and just do whatever they want. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's, you know, if there's some weird texturing stuff or whatever that Essel isn't like. I just want it to be Cray. Like,
so
straight up.
Tarn's, codenamed Tarn's Death, which I think does
nicely. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, a good-looking death, yeah. Well, Sanley play-tested it and couldn't get past the first two rooms and then said, oh, well, and then I had to stream myself beating it.
That's wonderful. Yeah, exactly. Like, that type of stuff. I want this to be a mapper's paradise where, you know, men, women, and children of all mapping religions can come in and do what the hell they want.
The mapping America.
Yeah.
The mapping synagogue. I guess that's quite specific. Tarnsman, likewise?
I mean, what would I like to see? Well, I mean,
change.
I can't really...
What would you like to see change, yeah, for the subsequent episode?
I honestly have nothing I'd like to see. I really love E2 and E3. E1 I have some problems with, but I honestly think E2 and E3 I have no issues with. There's some maps in E2 that Essel had been talking about, like, not being detailed enough, and I was like, no, they need to remain low detail. Because there's a lot of, like, runic texturing going on in E2 that really works well with the new texture set.
Mm-hmm. If I could perhaps repose the question slightly differently, what would you like to be able to say about those maps as when we come to reviewing them eventually?
I really like them. I don't know. Like E1 is my least favorite of all of Back to Saturn X. So, like, I have things that I can really complain about it. But, like, E2, like, I can't think of an E2 map I don't like. Like, I can immediately name Cyclone Utilities, but... that's it.
I haven't played. Honestly, I haven't played a lot of E2, and I know that, you know, we've got an internal thing going. I still really haven't messed around with it much, but I would like for it to have more jarring gameplay experiences and focus more on its, mm-hmm. you know, placement of stuff. Like, have some more interesting setups going on, like underwater explosions. You know, I think is a really cool idea because it's like it's not hard. It's not any sort of challenging map, but it's very explosion-driven. There's chain explosions of barrels, and it's very cinematic. It's just the short, punchy map that's kind of like a visual flair.
Absolutely, and see, that's talking about like what would I like to see for E2. E2 is what I'd like to see for E2.
Yeah.
I think that the whole there's not enough gimmick aspect in E1 is definitely removed by the time you get to E2.
Right.
I mean, this first map, you got Chain Gun Berserk gimmick. The second map is a barrel gimmick. The third map is basically Monster Condo gimmick. Lots of tough monsters in tight spaces and large groups. The fourth map is very non-linear and sandboxy in that aspect. You got a crate map. You have a vial map. There's a slaughter map. Pretty much, like, everything's, like, E2 runs the gambit. There's a map that takes 50 seconds to beat in E2.
So, what you're basically saying, Tarnsman, is that by the time we, the Doomworld Mobile Club comes around to playing E2, we're going to have to go on heretic hunts to weed out the people who don't like it, because they're clearly not human?
Yes.
just clarifying.
And like, E2, like, Rock King got away with a map called Bite in E2, which is just an absolute dick map. And, like, it's still in there, and that's great. That, like, there's just randomly a map that's five times harder than everything else.
And in the interest of keeping with some of the data, reasonably, you know, within
a reasonable length. No, because we haven't talked about music yet.
We are going to have to move on to Favolesco at this point. There will be plenty of things that we haven't mentioned for Get Out of My Stations, the first episode of Raptor Next. But you can either check out the streams, because, you know, the maps is long enough. We're able to slot in a lot of commentary there. You can find that on my Twitch account. Favolesco, which we played literally an hour ago. Yes. So that's very poor timing on our part.
I had to duck out of that one. Online, so I've only been able to see, like, the first two maps or so.
But I think you got the idea from what you saw.
You guys got through the whole thing, and you would say that I got the idea after seeing the first
one. You absolutely got the idea. Favolesco, all the joke criticisms I lay on Back to Saturn X, that's Favolesco. It's Favolesco is an E1 replacement. And,
it's a little more than that, though, isn't it? Because he was trying to... I'm not sure how strict it was, but he was trying to stick to Romero's mapping guidelines. So...
I don't think it almost
plays like a parody of Romero's mapping guidelines, though. Like, what's the deal with Romero? You know, like, it's to steal the words from Sigmatar as he described Essel's Dead Sea, but...
well, Sigmatar was right, because Essel's a terrible mapper, but...
but it almost applies here, where, like, it's like Romero's guidelines with, like, you know, all the shapeliness and the height variation and the supports and that stuff taken to, like, an absurd level, but, like, with no real, there's not, like, in the first couple maps that I played, I can't speak for the whole set, I didn't see it, but there wasn't, like, any real, like, meat or substance to those maps where, like, this is this place, and I can remember this map by this, you know, like, if you want to compare it directly to E1, which I'm going to guess that that's, you know, fair enough, Hangar is... Hangar, like you can, if you, like, just mentioning it, you can picture those areas in its head. It's really, it's like three rooms.
Right.
All three have something distinct and like going on in them,
mm-hmm.
and something eye catching. You know, toxin refinery. You open it up, there's the pit right there, the pit of toxins, and the secret exit.
Yeah, that, I think that's one thing I actually mentioned when I was playing through it. Is that, granted, again, that, you know, we've had so many years, 18 years, for Freewant to sort of sink into our heads. 20, in fact. Tell us when you better get that phone.
Yeah, you better pick that up.
I think he's already gone. granted that we've had that length of time, so we can remember them easily. In my mind, if I try to, like, mentally compartmentalize the areas in stock E1, I'm able to do it, because there's only, like, I can split it down to, like, 5 or 6, or however many it is, depending on the size of the map. And I can't do that with Favolesco, because it's all... The design, to speak of the design, is to say stringy, noodly, scrunched-up layout. The layout, actually, like, it moves around quite nicely. You know, it's difficult to get lost, even if you are me. But to play, I mean, everything's sort of very samey in scale, extremely corridor-oriented. It's actually quite boring. I don't think it's a bad map set. I think it's reasonably well, not designed, but, you know, produced, I guess, if that's the wrong word.
Right, like,
well made,
each area
it's
looks...
a bit boring.
Yeah, like, each of the hallways that you're in, like, has a cool shape, and it's textured nicely, and the lighting is cool. You know, there's, like, dark, light contrast, all that stuff, and, you know, but, it just, none of it always seems to cohere in some way. There's no adhesion. There's no, like, this is this map. And this map is this place. I would say that if you wanted to compare it to E1, I don't know.
Well, see, here's the thing about it. Like, Alfonso said that, you know, it has, you know, can we judge it differently as an E1 replacement because it's following Romero's, you know, style or whatever.
Okay.
And I would say no, because, you know, that's every single E1 replacement. No one makes an E1 replacement.
That's true.
That isn't a Romero E1 replacement. They may make a map set that occupies E1, but in order to be a real E1 replacement, it's an E1 style map set, like in the Romero style. That's kind of what I'm referring to when I talk about an E1 style map set. And Favolesco really suffers in that there's a lot of repeated tropes that make every single map blend together.
Yes, that weren't necessarily prevalent that much in the original stock. I think we started a count the flashy computer tech maze thing. We got it to something like 14, even though we were slightly sort of wanting to get that number higher, if you know what I mean. But they were quite a few. And, there's only like 3 instances of it in the stock, isn't there?
There's less... if we're talking about like computer pits, there's probably like 10 of those, but
that's
like
true.
You have the flashy maze in map 2, and that's about it. And then you have you have the flashy stone 2 segment of E1M5, but really there's not a whole lot of like that extremely reused stuff. Like,
honestly, if you wanted to do it properly, Romero, then you would reuse those ideas, but then shape them differently so they didn't seem the same each time. That's what he does so well.
Yeah,
but that just wasn't, that didn't happen, though. That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing, is that, like, oh god,
Sorry.
On my phone. Anyways.
I have to take this. I'll be right back.
Okay. With Romero, Romero would be like, okay, I'm going to read. The concept here is a hub with raised floors. It's like, okay, Romero, that's the concept. But with this, it was like there's that stairway from E1M6 that's used in one map like 7 times. Like, it's every hallway in the map. You actually commented, oh, hey, that's E1M6. And then you realize you'd, like, come across it, like, 3 times before earlier in the map.
Mm-hmm. There were also uses... And in fact, 2 maps were basically entirely constructed from those E1M7 style bridges, which of course runs prevalent for like half that map or what have you. So, I mean, it's that sort of thing once again. One thing I'd also like to mention is that, as I also did on the stream, I don't think people get enough credit to how, again, taking note of you know how long we've had for the maps to sit in our memory, in our mind, how actually diverse E1 really is. For one also having worked on it, you know, each of the maps do feel distinct to an extent. Obviously, they're equally themed. They do reuse tropes. We're all familiar with that. But this map set didn't have that. I mean, I played it an hour ago. I can't remember maybe 2 or 3 more maps independently. I can't do it. I remember those 2 of the walkways because they extensively use walkways. But I mean. That was really, really overt. That really stood out. And I'm really struggling to think. It just all merged together. It's possible for everything to merge together nicely, and for that to be a positive thing for the map set. But because it's an E1 replacement, and because the gameplay was uninspired, it complemented each other and was just boring to me. Astoundingly boring. Astoundingly boring.
There was no, like, unique area to a map. Like, you know, you say E1 had, you know, map... Each map was distinct, and I would agree with that, but only so much as, you know, you have, like, the oval outdoor area in E1M3 that's really, you know, unique, and you don't really see something like that ever again in E1, or that key building in E1M4, or E1M5's final, that stone 2 with the specters where it kind of feels hellish.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that is used, you know, once, or maybe twice. And it definitely makes each map, you know, okay, this is a map that has a bunch of hallways that are, you know, tech hallways, whoop-de-doo, I've seen this a million times, except... But, I don't know why I tried to mute the game, but it's not muting. anyways, but with Favalesco, it's like he comes up with these cool concepts, and then he uses it like 12 times every map.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, I mean, it's like I said when we were discussing... back to the next E1 just a moment ago, when we were saying, you know, when things are samey enough, if you change something in the slightest, it can stand out. But as you say, because these things are reused that often, and because he's always doing it in a certain way, and because I can't distinguish areas enough, because everything blends together, it doesn't work. I didn't like the map set. I'm actually kind of genuinely surprised at the reasonably positive response it's getting over at the forums, and I'm not going to touch it again. It's very damning, I know that, I did say before it is very well designed, but I think it's just too boring to play for me to really give it anything other than a negative.
Absolutely, I would agree with that. I do like the visuals. I think it's architecturally pretty well put together.
Sure.
I would consider those all positives, but. The gameplay is standard E1 fare. There's not even a whole bunch of rockets to make it fun. And, you know, killing zombie men is only fun for so long anyways. And then the layouts and the, like, there's not even, like, a strong atmosphere vibe going to it. I mean, yeah, you got some, you know, good lighting here and there, but, and this is important, each map blends together to where... In another map set, that might be a positive, like something like, I don't know, RTOC, Numbers, whatever the fuck that map set's called, where, you know, you're feeling like you're on a ship, and everything's that. But even then, like, if you're trying to go for all one monotonous, unique theme, even then, you still have, you know, like, okay, this is the base, but you'll come across, you know, like, this is unique thing A in the base.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't feel that exists in Favalesco, and it's really disappointing.
When we say it's unchanging and the same, we don't just mean that with respect to one thing. We mean that with respect to everything, like across all the boards. You know, nothing like you said, the atmosphere doesn't change either. So, I mean, that's really just adding insult to injury at this point. So that's the episode 6 of Where's All the Data, the podcast review, musically oriented review program. Pavel isn't here to say goodbye, so I'll say goodbye for him. Thanks for tuning in. And here's Jimmy. Hello.
Well, I was going to say, we have to announce what's coming up.
What's coming up?
Oh,
Christ.
What's coming up is an interview with Rock King. Natural 20 will someday eventually get interviewed. I don't know what the heck's going on with that. Talk to Matt Trapiano and Alfonso. I have no idea.
Already interviewed him, but unfortunately the recording fell into a space-time continuum is going to crop up sometime in the future instead. So
that's a lovely excuse you got right there, Alfonso.
Sounds cheesy, I know, but I mean it's all I got. Kama Sutra is the next map set we'll be playing.
Yes, Kama Sutra is the next map set we'll be playing. The Tango
played, incidentally.
I've played it once, and I remember a couple things about it. There's a lot of Doom furniture. It's a very cheesy, fun map set. It's very hard in a way that I'm not... Like, I wouldn't say it's actually very hard. I would say it's more very slaughtery, but toned down to an extent, in a way that I'm not necessarily a gigantic fan of. But I do remember it being pretty good besides that, so we'll see how well it holds up.
See you all then, folks.
Yeah, and I look forward to more speed maps coming in the fall with the holiday season.
Bye for now. Take it away, Jimmy.